The heart of it all, the nature and character of God, God's immutability, by Peter Amsterdam. For an introduction and explanation regarding this series overall, please see The Heart of It All, Introduction. The immutability of God, or His unchangeableness or constancy, as some theologians call it, is part of His divine nature. It means that God doesn't change in His being, His perfections, His purposes, and promises. He doesn't change in His nature or character. The universe and all that is in it changes. There is transition, movement from one state to the next. People, for example, age, and as they do, they change. They grow or diminish in size as well as intellectually and emotionally. Someone can also change morally, going from being a bad person to being a good one, or vice versa. Someone can study and practice a skill and in the course of doing so, learn and eventually become proficient in what they have studied. These are all examples of change, which is part of life within creation. However, God transcends creation. He doesn't change. If He did, He would become either better or worse. He'd either grow in His intelligence and knowledge or diminish in it. He'd become more loving or less loving, more holy or less holy. But as God, He is infinite in all of these things. He therefore doesn't improve or deteriorate in them. If He did, He wouldn't be God. All of creation is becoming. It's becoming something different than what it presently is. God, in contrast to this, is being. He is, always. He doesn't change. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The Rock. God's character, His attributes or perfections, don't change. He is always good, loving, just, righteous, holy, all-knowing, all-powerful, etc. There is never any varying in these things. He is constant. If God's character varied, then we couldn't be certain that the God we know to be good and loving would remain that way. If God was subject to change, then at some point He could start thinking that sin isn't so bad after all. He could eventually degenerate to the point where He would begin to do evil things Himself, and even eventually become an all-powerful evil being. But His character and attributes do not and cannot change. They are constant. There is no variation. Old Testament writers expressed His unchangeableness and the resultant confidence in Him by using the term rock. I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice. O God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is He. Declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God doesn't change in His purpose, His will, and His plan. Once He has decided that He will bring something about, He does it. His plan of salvation is something that He determined before the foundations of the world, and He carried out His plan as promised. Prophecies, predictions, and judgments throughout the Old Testament were fulfilled. His purposes of saving people through Jesus, of Jesus' return, of eternal life for believers, of judgment, of heaven, don't change. They remain firm. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the Church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. God doesn't change in regard to his word and his promises. If he stopped honoring his promises, if he acted contrary to his word, then he couldn't be trusted. The promise of salvation, of eternal life, and his willingness to answer prayer would all be in question. If God could change, then these bedrock foundations of our faith could change. But his promises and word remain forever. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Does God change his mind? When God's unchangeableness is presented, the question often arises about the times God seems to have changed his mind, such as when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to announce that in 40 days the city would be destroyed. Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Another example was when he gave the ailing king Hezekiah 15 more years of life after having told him he was going to die. Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, and said, "Please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life." When considering these examples where it looks as if God changed his mind, we must remember that God is a personal being who interacts with humanity. Within this interaction, God responds to man's choices and decisions. When someone is doing evil, God is displeased with that person's actions. But if the person repents and changes, then God's relationship with that person changes. His overall love for the person never changes, but there is a response from God depending on the choices made by the person or people. In the case of Nineveh, because they were wicked, God's response was that he rightly was going to destroy them. He told Jonah to tell them so. When Jonah did, the people repented, and God's response to their repentance was mercy. With Hezekiah, God declared he was going to die, yet when Hezekiah prayed and wept, God responded to his prayer and healed him. In these cases, God was responding in mercy and love to changes made in prayers prayed by the people involved. In neither example did God change his character or nature, nor his overall purpose and plan. God didn't change, but the people changed, and God responded in accordance with his divine nature. Author and theologian Wayne Grudem explains it this way: "These instances should all be understood as true expressions of God's present attitude or intention with respect to the situation as it exists at that moment. If the situation changes, then of course God's attitude or expression of intention will also change. This is just saying that God responds differently to different situations. The example of Jonah preaching to Nineveh is helpful here. God sees the wickedness of Nineveh and sends Jonah to proclaim, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The possibility that God would withhold judgment if the people repented is not explicitly mentioned in Jonah's proclamation as recorded in Scripture, but it is, of course, implicit in that warning. The purpose for proclaiming a warning is to bring about repentance. Once the people repented, the situation was different, and God responded differently to that changed situation. Regarding Hezekiah, Grudem says, "Here prayer itself was part of the new situation and was in fact what changed the situation. God responded to that changed situation by answering the prayer and withholding the judgment." Authors Lewis and Demarest explain, "We can always count on God's concern for human righteousness and well-being. God changelessly answers prayer in accord with his desires and purposes of holy love. From the standpoint of human experience, it appears, in the phenomenological language of Scripture, that God repents, but in reality it is the ungodly that have changed their minds in respect to sin. When the people of Nineveh repented, God relented and in compassion did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. God's basic purposes toward the unrepentant and the repentant in Nineveh remained unchanged. Only God's activity changed in accord with the changes in the spiritual attitudes of the Ninevites." Another factor to keep in mind regarding the scenarios above is that the Bible uses anthropomorphic descriptions of God, such as the mention of God having relented in the story of Jonah. These are best understood as descriptive language within human comprehension. On this matter of anthropomorphic language, William Lane Craig says, "It's vital that we understand the literary genre or type of most of these biblical stories. The Bible is in the form of narratives. They're stories about God told from the human point of view. So a good storyteller will tell his story with all the vivacity and color that he wants to enhance his narratives. And so you'll find stories in the Bible about God told from a human perspective, where God not only lacks knowledge of the future, but even lacks knowledge of what is going on presently. God comes down to Abraham and says, 'I've heard the outcry in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to go see if what I've heard is really happening there.' Genesis 18:20-33. Well, that would deny not only God's foreknowledge, but his knowledge of the present. And there are other passages where God is spoken of in other anthropomorphic terms as having nostrils and eyes, arms and other sorts of bodily parts, wings, and if you take all these literally, God would be a fire-breathing monster. These are anthropomorphisms. They are literary devices that are part of the storyteller's art and shouldn't be read like a philosophy of religion or systematic theology textbook." For more on anthropomorphisms of God in the Bible, see The Nature and Character of God, God is Spirit, and particularly the section on anthropomorphisms. In each of these situations, God didn't change in his nature, character, purpose, or promises. In fact, he was constant in all of these by being just, loving, righteous, and personal, and acting within his overall purpose. Application. God's immutability, his constancy and unchangeableness, is central to our faith in him. If he was inconsistent, if his nature or character was regularly changing, if he improved or deteriorated, then we couldn't trust him. We couldn't trust his word or his promises. But God doesn't change in his being, nature, character, purposes, promises, or plan. He can be counted on, for he is faithful and true. He is the rock that we can build on, the one we can trust in this ever-changing world, because he is the unchangeable God. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Copyright 2016 by The Family International.